Hey there, this is Seth Wires from Channel 9. We're here at That Conference in the mess hall stage. This is like a really cool vibe we got going here. It's like we're at a campfire.
Yeah, we've got a nice little fire.
Instruct us, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I'm considered a camp counselor.
Nice. So tell us who you are and what you do.
So I'm Keith Casey. I'm a director of product for a company called Clarify.
Okay.
So we're Clarify.io. We make an API that makes audio and video searchable. We extract keywords. We do object recognition video, all kinds of stuff like that.
But today, well, you have a talk coming up, or did you already do it?
I gave it yesterday, yeah.
What is it on?
So it's on behavior-driven development. It's called, Is Your API Misbehaving? And the idea of it is that testing APIs, like the way we do things now, is kind of bad.
Uh-huh.
We do things like unit testing, we do click-through testing, we do all this sort of stuff, which tells part of the story, but never really gives us confidence that things are working. With behavior-driven development, you sort of step outside your normal development mindset, and you get in the customer's mindset, and you say, what does my customer want to do with this API, and how are they going to accomplish it? And then you write tests that support that.
So that's interesting. So you're saying that unit tests sort of test really far down here, but the customer really wants to know about the behavior of your program.
The customer doesn't care about implementation details. They shouldn't have to know. They don't care about the language or technology or the framework or anything like that.
Right.
They care, when I do this and I expect this to happen, does it?
Interesting. So how does one do that? Let's say, what language are you using? When you
primarily PHP, but we do it in Python and Ruby also.
Also, awesome. So Microsoft, we don't care where you what you develop, as long as you put it on Azure, we're happy.
Yes,
so,
and there's comparable tools in the Microsoft space. InSpec seems to be the most common one. I'm not as familiar with that.
Okay, so tell me about, let's just say in a PHP project that you're putting up on Azure, how would you go about and do behavior-driven development?
So you write these things which are called features or specs, and it's a test, and it says, given X, when I do Y, then this happens. And it's literally like that's what it looks like. You say, given when I authenticate with an API key and I do this, then I expect to get this back. And so you don't have to be a developer to write these feature tests. And it's really kind of cool because then you use a tool like in the PHP space, it's Behat. In Ruby, it's Cucumber. And it goes ahead and takes those and it translates each sentence to a block of code.
I see.
And then that's the code that you actually write and you do your test, you do your connection, whatever the case may be. And then you just define what your success or failure criteria is there. And then you run it. And then it color codes each line, like green if it works, red if it didn't, and it goes ahead and runs a test.
So, okay, so what is the difference between unit testing, where the developer names things and say, is this returning 3 when I add 1 plus 2, versus behavior-driven development? It feels like ultimately it goes down to code.
Yes.
What would be the main difference between a unit test and a behavior-driven test?
So one of the things that we do at Clarify is that when somebody requests a feature from us, we go ahead and we write this given feature test to go along with it. So we say, when a customer uses their API key and they upload a new audio file, this is what they get back. So behind the scenes, there might be unit tests supporting these individual components, but the customer sees this. And the customer doesn't care about anything else behind the scenes. They want to know, when I do this, this thing I expect happens.
So is there a way, because I like maybe you can help me wrap my head around this. For example, the customer is going to say, hey, when person A logs in and they're an admin, they should go to the admin page.
Yes.
How do you test that in behavior? You just make the method and then you got to do something underneath to make it do that?
So yeah, there's a couple different approaches. There's a great one. I think it's called Cucumber.js for JavaScript. And so you can actually sort of test the flow of the web page itself. So you can say, when I fill in these fields and this happens, then do this.
Okay.
So when I hit submit, the next URL looks like this. So you might check to say, sure admin is in the URL pattern.
Interesting. So I was all thinking UI level, but as a developer, you know that this URL corresponds to this UI, so it passes.
So it's UI level can sort of intersect with it, but it's behavior level. What's the behavior I expect to see?
Oh, I see. That's awesome. So how does one go about developing in this stuff? Because it's called behavior-driven development. What's the process that you see people doing with this?
So there's this this great syntax called Gherkin. So the given when this happens, when I do this, then this happens, that's called Gherkin syntax. And that's very much cross-language. So you have somebody sit down and write some of those tests. And one of the things I hammer on pretty heavily in my presentation is when somebody says, oh, we need to test the API, they try and test the whole thing at once. That will fail.
Yeah, of course.
Because there's just so much to do. Like, because you start thinking, oh, I'm going to test this thing. And then you realize, wait a minute, I need to test this thing. So you start testing this thing. You go, oh, wait a minute, there's this thing. And you end up going down this rat hole, and you never come out.
I see.
So with BDD, I really recommend figuring out one use case of when a user registers for my site or starts doing this, here's one thing that they're going to do. And don't worry about the whole realm of things you can test. Worry about this one thing.
Interesting.
And one of the nice things is it makes you stop and get outside your normal developer mindset and get right. in the customer's mindset and say, what struggles are they having?
I see.
We use it. We use the exact same Gherkin test, like verbatim, the same test to validate our PHP, our Python, and our Ruby libraries.
That's interesting. So I'm starting to get a sense, or maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, because when we develop stuff, there's always like the data layer from the database. There's always sort of the middle controller type area.
Yeah.
And then there's the view. And usually when we're testing each little granule at a time. You're saying
yes.
Behavior will take sort of a slice through
it. That's a perfect way
Instead
to look at it.
Instead of horizontal, you're looking at it vertically for behavior doing testing.
Totally. And, because you know if any of those given pieces fails, the behavior itself is going to fail. So it works out the same way. So I absolutely say unit testing at these layers is fine.
Of course.
But don't,
maybe even necessary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I wouldn't argue against that. I just say that's not enough. And that isn't relevant to the customer. Because there's lots of times where we find out that the individual layers work fine. It's the interactions between the layers that things break.
That's interesting. Because now, instead of focusing on, does my API call return the right ID? Instead, you're looking at the whole sliver through the entire application.
Yes, yes.
And so now you're covering yourself horizontally and vertically, is the hope.
Right, right. And one of the things that we're trying to do at Clarify is we're going to open source all of our tests with the idea that, like, when you're using an API and you're like, oh, wow, it's broken. Well, it might be broken, which is it happens, or your code might be broken, which is usually more likely.
Right.
And so by releasing these tests, we can say, look, we know how customers are using the API in general.
I see.
By open sourcing these tests, you can run them yourself. So if you think something's broken, run them yourself. If it's still broken, then obviously we as the API provider made a mistake. We need to fix something. But if they work and your code doesn't,
that's cool.
Maybe you need to look at your code again.
So you guys make APIs for the sound stuff.
Yes.
And then you release the tests so that you can see, because it's going to be a vertical test down the pipe,
yeah.
you're going to be able to see where it breaks.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Usually it's not your stuff.
Usually, hopefully it's not going to be our stuff.
Well, what's cool is that even if it is, right? I mean, they will tell you, hey, it broke when I did this call with this stuff.
Yeah.
And not only are you getting good information from the customer,
yes.
but you're getting good information to debug your stuff.
Yeah, and we really hope to sort of bring the test down to a level where anyone, regardless of development background or not, can sort of add to the test and say, oh, well, here's a use case that you guys didn't think of, but here's what I do all the time.
I see.
So then we can write the test and we can write the supporting code to do it.
One of the cool things about behavior-driven development that I saw a long time, I think it was with Cucumber on Ruby that
yeah.
I saw it, is that these things literally look like requirements documents
yes.
that get checked off.
Yeah.
And it's not like me saying, yeah, we did that. It's the computer saying, I validated these things.
Yes. Yeah, and I think that's incredibly powerful because having a product manager be able to write that or a customer like customer agent or customer like somebody who's interviewing the customer be able to sit down and write these and hand it to a customer and it makes sense to them and then hand it to a developer and it makes sense to them, I think is amazing.
Yeah, it's my sense is that the biggest challenge in our industry is the communication gap.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the people person in office space.
Yeah.
I take the requirements from the customer to the engineer.
Like, that's right.
Simplify that job.
That's right. So where can people go to find out more about behavior-driven development, maybe in their language of choice?
So there are tons of resources on BDD, behavior-driven development. In the .NET space, InSpec is the most common one. In PHP, it's BHAT. Behave is common in Python. Googling it is fine, or Binging it if you prefer.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah,
Google
I'll throw that in
Bing.
There. Yeah, use Bing.
Yeah.
But we're planning on open sourcing all of our stuff. So we've got a GitHub account under Clarify, and you should be able to find all the stuff there, hopefully by the end of the month.
Awesome. Well, thanks for spending some time with us. This is really cool.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for watching. We're here at the Mess Hall stage. This is the main stage at that conference. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.